Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a very high practice weekend. And here were our assignments. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Emily Dickinson said that love is all there is all we know of love. It's the air we breathe. It is, as the saying goes, the water we swim in. But that's often not our experience. In fact, quite the opposite. That Mr. Rumi cautions it is not our task to seek for love hints at the universal nature of that search. We don't feel it surrounding us, filling us, animating us. But it is. Awareness practice is a process of finding all the barriers built up in us against love and assisting us to accept, embrace, and let them go. Today, remembering that what we do is what we have, practice loving as if your life depends on it, which it does. Record and listen. November 11th. Criticism is prejudice made plausible. Once we're made to believe that there's something wrong with us, we're willing to entertain judgments about us and trained to assume they're true. Yes, you are that way, the voice of self-hate whispers. Everybody thinks that about you. It could be, goes the conditioned logic. And after enough cases being made against us, we finally cave into the belief that, yes, that's how I am. Well, it's not. Criticism, judgment, and self-hate are there only to keep us looking to ego identity for information about what to do and how to feel. Looking to ego keeps us from seeing. The clarity that's available to us, kind, compassionate, wise, and loving clarity, is obscured by critical voices. Today, when you hear a criticism, inside or outside, directed at you or another, stop to ask the simple question, what else might be true? Record and listen with the support and assistance of the mentor, the possibilities that drop in. November 12th. Constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate. We know that to be true from our own experience, don't we? Ego is braced against something I don't like, but it has no defense against kindness. I gets all worked up about some injustice righteously going on in the head about how wrong this is. And the person to whom we're going to air our grievance, the person the voices claim is the enemy, says something along the lines of, oh, you're right, that's awful, I can help you. Right there, if we're paying attention, we'll see the collapse of the ego structure. Today, do yourself the kindness of being that person who understands and offers assistance in the face of a self-righteous identification. Remember, these attacks of self-righteousness can happen inside our own head as quickly and as easily as inside someone else's. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lori from Asheville.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, everybody. There's just, of course, I love this program, this show every single day and all that we get. I particularly on Friday reading the Rumi quote and the commentary about it, it's been so such a beautiful invitation in practice, and it's kind of like then the other quotes are saying, well, this is what would interfere with being able to breathe love and to know that that's really what we're living in all the time, and then practicing the kindness that just is always available. And then it's like that little, you know, the conditioning that's going to want to say anything else. So I'm really grateful that we can rest in and return to the practice of unconditional love and kindness, because that's all that I really want to be having, yeah.
Now, and the way you just laid it out is exactly the way it is. It's really that simple. When we go up into conditioned mind, there's always something wrong. There's always a problem. Something doesn't like something that offends it, and that it needs to get worked up over. When we drop that, when we come back here, then that's not there, and we could call the experience we have when we're here love, kindness, whatever, you know, respect, appreciation, enjoyment, all kinds of synonyms for love. And it's really that straightforward. We're here, not attending to conditioned mind, no problem. Go to conditioned mind, get into the conversation, it's always a problem. Yeah, so if we want to find the barriers against love, then we could narrow it down to barrier, going to the conversation in conditioned mind. That's always the barrier. Now, it may be talking about anything, right? This person, that situation, that thing, that this worry, this fear, this regret, the content is endless. But the process is just one.
It really is endless. The content is so endless. And,
yes,
and the
yes.
effort to get the attention, however it could, you know, what's going to be the most exciting way to disturb this human? It kind of goes for that.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we fall for it. But we don't have to. We can learn to choose love.
You know, that seems to me that's what we're doing. Is learning to continuing to learn to choose love,
and for that I am so deeply grateful that that's where we're practicing.
Yes,
the ways to
and
do
that. It's so simple. It's so simple and straightforward. You know, not big, not now. That doesn't mean it's not challenging, because we're deeply conditioned to go to conditioned mind, but. But that doesn't make it hard. That doesn't make it, it's not like we have to figure anything out, or we have to learn anything, or we just have to choose to put our attention on love, on here, on present.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that I'm appreciating about what's going on politically right now is that there's so many opportunities to remember that I can choose love. Like, mm-hmm. Because it can so quickly get, you know, the attention get riveted to there is definitely something wrong going on now. And and then to go, yeah, well, that could be so. And that doesn't exclude the way that the attention can simply go to love in the midst of anything.
Yes. Yeah. Folks like the Buddha and Jesus have had such a long run of popularity because that's exactly what they were saying. Yeah, there's always going to be something. There will always be something. And
there will
always
be something, yeah. Well, because that's the other thing that's so fabulous, is that there will always be love. And
yeah.
And in that conditioned world, it gets obviously into the duality about, well, in this situation there can't be love. And I realize that's so much of what the focus has been on in our practice, to say, well, yes, and, you know, yeah, that's going on, and there is always the presence of love, the opportunity to be in kindness, the opportunity to have compassion be the guide. It's just, I've got such deep gratitude for that.
Yes, yes. And, Lori, the thing that drops in when you say that, one of the ways conditioned mind will bamboozle people is, okay, now what you need to do is feel love for the people and situations that are that you consider harmful. No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing at all.
I have been advised to do that, though. I mean, I hear that. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, just turn. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's because it won't work. That's why that advice is so common. Because what we're doing is turning our attention to unconditional love. It's not it's not specific. It's not personal.
If
I'm going to practice loving Hitler, then I have dropped smack into the world of duality. And I'm now a person who is going to unconditionally love a person. That is just not how it works.
Right.
So good point there. All right. Well, thanks, Lori.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you both, and thanks, everyone.
Take good care.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. You know, Sherry, I heard three things in that conversation. The first is that the practice of awareness is an act of surrender, not an act of effort, right? That's what the Rumi quote is pointing us to. We're not seeking for love. That's not the efforting that we're doing. We're just surrendering anything that stands in the way that love is, love, because love is. And that's what the assignment is about, that love will be when we let go of everything that prevents us from loving.
Just
simply as.
Love is, right. And we have to maintain those barriers, and the way we maintain those barriers is in a conversation and conditioned mind.
Exactly.
Stop doing that, and boop, you're in love.
Yeah, and I love what you said. It's not loving a person. It's being in a state of love. Right, that unconditional love is a state of being. It's not a personal emotion.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I forgot what the third thing was, so let's hear from our next caller.
Okay, it'll come back. Right, thanks.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, I loved how Lori said hello, everyone. So I'm going to say hello, everyone. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area. Hello,
Anne.
I'm so
Anne and everyone.
Yeah, I have been out of the country for 3 weeks on a bizarre timeline. I mean, time schedule. So I have not been able to call in, but I have been listening religiously, and I participated from afar from precepts, and I just feel so grateful for all of that, you know. So, and then I'm grateful to be able to call in now.
Well, and what you're saying follows directly and beautifully on what Lori was talking about, because if we're not in that ego-identified conversation conditioned mind, we're never separate. Right? It doesn't matter where we are. We're still at one with everyone. That's what happens when we fall into love.
Yes, yes, and I just have felt... I was sitting this morning, I got up early and listened to the radio show, the recording of the last radio show, because I wasn't able to listen live, so I'm now all caught up on all the recordings. And I was sitting there just looking at what I wanted to talk about on the call, and I remembered this lovely call of a woman who, a bird had just flown into her window. I don't know if you remember that call.
Yeah.
And so she had planned on talking about something, and you said, well, you know, let's just be here. And I just thought, wow, that's, you know, that I don't have to prepare. I can just be here.
Because here is like everyone.
Here is like, say that again?
Here is like everyone. There are no boundaries in here. There's nothing excluded from here. Just like everyone. Like all beings.
Yes, and I was looking at the I was so grateful for the readings this weekend, because I was looking at the one on criticism and how, you know, to look at how it can be internal. And I was on a call on Saturday where there was an invitation to up our game and participate more, and I was looking at like this incessant egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, criticism that I don't do enough. And so then I was trying to resolve that in conditioned mind, you know, like, okay, now what's the solution here? Now what's the thing? And then I just thought, wow, I can just drop that and be here, and there's not a problem. And I just go with my heart that says, yes, I want to participate more. And who cares about enough, not enough? Just be here.
Right. Because love will find a way.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Love?
So it just...
Yep. Love will always find the opening. Love will always make it work. Always.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, to look at, as you said, I love that there's only one barrier to love, which is the conversation and conditioned mind, which makes us separate. And I loved how you said we're always connected. We just have to come back, be here, breathe, and here we are. So I just wanted to call in and participate and touch base and say how, you know, how grateful I am for everybody's participation.
Well, thank you, Anne. And are you home safe and sound now?
I am home safe and sound. I actually tried to sign up for the New Year's retreat this weekend, and there was some weirdness on the website, which I wrote in about, and I'm just about to sign up for the email class. And so I'm just looking forward to a lot of practice in the coming weeks. And I also was so grateful to participate remotely in precept. So I renewed my vows with everybody from South America.
Very good. Work does not have to interfere with practice, no matter where work takes us.
Right. No, and what I loved what you said, you just said it this morning, but you said it last week on the radio show to someone about sit, whatever you do, sit. And then as you're going through your day, sit. And I just thought, yes. So work is something we do after practice or as part of practice.
Yes. Oh, well stated. Well stated. Yeah. Not instead of practice. Yeah.
No.
All right.
So anyway,
thank you, Anne.
See you soon.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anne. Well, there was so much in that call, Sherry, but the thing that I absolutely love is that choice to sit rather than put off the sitting to do the work is exactly the choice that we're making in practice all the time, right? That's a content manifestation of a process choice, which is I'm going to choose life over conditioned mind, and that's how I'm in love.
Yeah. First choose love, and mm-hmm. then everything will fall into line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Let me try again.
Feel it.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Yep. Hello.
Hello. Hey, it's Linda from Alabama.
Hey.
Let's see. Gosh. All right, let's see.
I didn't know this was going to happen. Well, here we are.
Hello, everyone.
we can just take a breath and celebrate the fact that all got here together.
All together. I know. It's so great to hear your voice and be actually talking to you and not showing you. And so let's see. I've been, you know, my mantra lately has been to open my heart and open my mind. And I was doing that as I was listening today, and it was so wonderful. So,
wow, I choose to open my heart and open my mind.
And
wow.
It helps me a lot in interacting with other people.
Oh, yeah. That is throwing a serious curve at conditioned mind, isn't it?
Yes, it just kind of goes...
and in that little gap where you've thrown it off, you really can be here and present and in that choice to be open.
Right. And when somebody says something that's sort of disturbing, I can say that to myself instead of going to condition mind to how to react to it, I guess would be a good way to say it.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty of a mantra, isn't it? It's there to support us. We train ourselves to that, and then it's there to support us when conditioning tries to put a foot in the door.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Very lovely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of physical problems, and I don't know. That just came out.
Uh-huh. And that's where the attention wants to go?
It's been a lot lately. It's been there a lot lately, yeah. Yeah.
And the mantra will still serve you, right?
Yes. I was thinking that. That maybe I've been using a lot in interactions with others, but I need to be using it a lot in that situation, too.
Yeah.
I do want to celebrate that I've actually... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say maybe mostly there, right? Because that's where it's going to trip you up. You can avoid other people.
Right.
But it's hard to avoid your own body.
It's true.
Right? So if it's able to torture you over your physical being, then that's a big advantage conditioning. So to bring that mantra, you know, conditioning, blah, 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 about whatever is going on, you know, I choose to open my heart and open my mind. That really positions you for what intelligence life has to inform you about what's going on. How to be with yourself.
I like that, yeah. And what's the, you know, like one of the things I've been using a lot is the compassion, you know, trying to come up with, let's see, not, always, when I say trying, I realize, let's see, so it's not trying to feel better, you know, not taking aspirin if I have a headache, but if I take the aspirin and I still have the headache, to just go with compassion for myself.
To really be with the person who's having the experience instead of do what conditioning wants you to do, which is bail on that person, right?
Right.
make them the enemy and the problem and hate that person. And when that person is your own body, we can sense that is not a wise approach.
Right. That's a good idea. Kind of think of that body as a person who I'm opening my heart and opening my mind to. So when I start closing down because it's hurting, to stay open.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where the guidance about what you actually need is going to come from.
I got you.
Body and mind are one, right? Yep.
Right.
You know what I love, Linda, is it really surprised you when you said that. Having a lot of physical problems, right? You didn't intend to say that. But the intelligence, heart, whatever, authenticity, just put it out there.
Right.
And that to me is a perfect example of the kind of guidance that we receive. When we're present enough, we're not attending to conditioned mind, it's not controlling what we say and do, then that authenticity has the opportunity to present itself. And that's where we receive support for us rather than being controlled by conditioned mind. That's kind of convoluted. Did you go with that?
Yeah, I might have to listen to that again. Or you can say it again, either one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I talk to people about it just, you know, in practice in general, that what we're getting to the point of is not attending to conditioned mind and trusting that life is going to offer the best for us. So if I'm not looking at conditioned mind to tell me what to say, then I'm going to get to know what happens when conditioning isn't in control. And I project that's what just happened to you. And it was really good because conditioning didn't want you to say anything about having trouble physically because that's torturing you. And when you put it out there, now it's in the conversation. Now you can receive support and encouragement, which is what conditioning doesn't want to have happen for us.
That's so true. You're right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank God for being there, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Don't be a stranger now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks, Linda. Sure, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. This is Eleanor in Georgia.
Well, hello,
hi.
Eleanor.
Hey. Great to connect. That's it. And so much fun things to connect with. I had a grand experience yesterday. I was going to be with a group of people, and I went in bringing to my awareness to bring kindness. That was it. That's all I had to do there, and it stayed with me, and it was wonderful. I remember a couple times, you know, what will come in that I can see to take me away from it, kind of like the Rumi thing, what gets in my way of being with life, and it's always, you know, you should have said this or that. But with the focus on kindness, it just felt like it was returned to me all around. You know, the other people were, I was receiving and giving kindness without conditioning there to tell me how to do it. Right?
Yes.
I think. The way I recognize conditioning usually is that I'm here and that I'm not doing it right. You know, that's.
Oh, yes. And, you know, what dropped in when you were describing that, Eleanor, I've known you for a lot of years.
Right.
You were just kind of a child when I met you. And I would say that I have never, in all the years I've known you, had an experience of you that I would have said was unkind.
Wow. Oh, thank you so much for reflecting that to me for so many years.
Well, it's really important because what that has the opportunity of reinforcing is how wrong conditioned mind is. Not that I think it's wrong. It's really diabolical, right? That it's working so hard to get you to have an experience of yourself that is not at all how you are.
Right, yes.
And that's what you're seeing through, isn't it?
It is, and I've felt many times big gratitude that whatever happened in this life, I got the opportunity to be without staying in that place that is still, it's really strong, and don't want to use the words to be negative about this human, but whew, what a great shift that has been to open to something else besides what conditioning is telling me so strongly that I have to be.
Yes. And the process that this practice is of rescuing a perfectly perfect human being from the grip of that hatefulness. Because that's what we're doing, right? That's what the Buddha taught. We each have one person to save. And until we make that move, that perfectly perfect human being is left there being, well, bottom of the well, right?
Down at the bottom
of the well. Yeah, well, ego is up there saying, oh, and this and that and you and I and we and, you know, this great story about what's wrong and how it needs to be different. And you now have an eye on that person who has been at the bottom of the well, and you're bringing her up into the light. Where
exactly. And it doesn't happen suddenly.
It was?
Her life. Yes. I was going to say that the way it's happened is it every moment, every time that I come back to caring for this person and not coming out of that story, I can really feel the trust and the faith growing that's real, that that's what's happening, that it's that I can do it, that I just keep on keeping on. It becomes easier just to keep on doing it. Oh yeah, you know, I've seen
that's
this. I can do. I'm doing this again. Okay, I'm doing it. You know.
Yes.
So.
And oh, I go and I'm with these people, and it occurs to me that I want to be kind, and so that's what I focus on, and they're kind too. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's out there.
Love is all there is.
Yeah. Oh. Big gratitude. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Eleanor. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. Sherry, here's our assignments of today.
All right.
We read the world wrong and say that it deceives us. Oh, my. That's sobering, isn't it? I have an erroneous view of the world, and the voice of ego maintenance tells me they are doing me wrong. All of the koans in awareness practice are a form of where does wrong reside? We look out at the world, people, life through the eyes of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and all we ever see is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. When we realize that the lights come on and we're able to see life through the eyes of life. Today, let where does wrong reside be your koan. Record and listen to what you see each time you hear ego voices making a case for that's wrong, and bring attention to your koan.
I love koans. What a fun day. Where does wrong reside?
Yep, that's right. Very fun.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.